Well, on this Sunday closest to Remembrance Day, I felt a certain responsibility to at least have something to do with remembering. And as I was looking at the texts, nothing led me to preach on the sacrifice necessarily of those who have served in other places, tempting as it is, and very much worthwhile remembering those who have done so. But a phrase struck me as I was looking particularly at our Second Thessalonians lesson, and the phrase is the sermon title, Remembering the Future, which is just sort of an odd kind of thing, because how do you remember the future? You don't remember the future, you remember the past. That's what it's all about, as one comedian used to say, whenever I think of the past, it just brings back so many memories. When I was younger, it took me a while to figure that one out, but I quite like that. But how do we remember the future? And it's not some kind of a responsibility on us to have some kind of prophecy about the future. It's not our end of things. We remember the future when we listen carefully and depend on the word of the one who knows the future. And we remember the future when we come to particular times when we are concerned. One of the things about prophecy, there's a couple of kinds of prophecy, and we've talked about this before. And when it comes to prophecy, there's sort of two large definitions or large ways to look at it. There's one that the gift of a prophet or the job of a prophet is to speak God's truth into the current situation. And it's a prophetic word, not in the sense that it looks to the future, but it's a prophetic word and that it comes from a particular person who is anointed in a way to explain what's going on to God's people for a particular time. And that's the kind of prophecy that is far and away the most common in Scripture, but it's the least common when we think of the word prophecy. Because when we think of prophecy, we think of the future. And there's certainly a part of that as well. The prophets in the Bible, now and then, look into the future and say, this is what it's going to be like. And so prophecy is something that we, in that sense, the foretelling as opposed to the forthtelling, as one of my professors tried to help us remember it, foretelling does happen. And when it does happen, that's where we are then in the possibility, or at least the possibility opens up, of remembering what hasn't happened yet. But why would we want to? What does that do for us? Well, remembering what's going to happen from the perspective of these are the things that God has said about the future, about our ultimate destiny, about how the world is going to work from now until such time as He returns in that glorious way, can give us tremendous comfort for the moment. And it gives us comfort in a couple of different directions. Because if we know what the future is, we are less inclined to be afraid of it. All of us at some point or another have helped a smaller person in our life get ready for a trip to the dentist, or perhaps for some vaccinations, or something that they're quite certain is going to be terrible. And generally speaking, when you ask them about it, they're not sure how it's going to be terrible, but they're convinced it's going to be terrible. And we prepare them for it by saying, this is what it's going to be like. This is what's going to happen. And for some children who have special difficulties with dentists or doctors or whatever it might be, often it's very helpful to take the kids there a day or two before the thing happens, say, this is what it is. These are the people you're going to meet. This is where it's going to happen. And by knowing what's going to happen, it changes your concern in the present. At least it has for some of the children that I've done this with, namely my own. By explaining exactly what's going to happen, you are less concerned about the future. And one of the problems with the future is its fundamental unknowability. And if you're the kind of person who is looking towards something or looking ahead to something from a fearful perspective, human imagination is an extraordinary thing and will turn it into possibly the worst thing that could possibly happen to any human being ever, without any way of knowing otherwise. But if someone who has been there before, someone who understands what's going to happen, can explain it to you in ways that make sense to you, it becomes less fearful. And then in a very real sense, as you walk into this experience, when you walk into the dentist's office, when you walk into the public health nurse for the vaccination, you're remembering what's going to happen. So we can remember the future. And we do it all the time. But when we think of this text, we see Paul writing to the people in Thessalonica who were concerned about the coming of the Lord. And they weren't sure when it was going to happen, but they were becoming unsettled and alarmed because some people had come and told them things that might happen in a particular way, and they were worried about that. And Paul says, don't do that, because these people who are coming to you, telling you what's going to happen, don't really know what they're talking about. They're probably well-meaning. There's no sense here that these people are particularly evil. But Paul is saying these people don't understand what's going to happen, and these are the things that are going to happen. And until these things happen, you have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to be concerned about. And then he goes on to describe some of the things that might happen. Men of lawlessness and all of these things that are kind of confusing. But the strong sense we get from Paul's writing here is that when these happen, they'll be unmistakable. And until those things happen, we can continue with things as they are, because that's what they are. We don't have to be terribly concerned about catastrophes happening right around the corner, because some of the things that lead up to catastrophes haven't happened yet. There's something about, I think every generation, or certainly every age, has its feeling that this is the worst it's ever been. Or sometimes we think it's the best it's ever been, but we tend to think that this is it. That this is sort of the end of all things. You can go back by decade or by era or whatever you want, and you will find all kinds of books and articles and other such things written by well-meaning and well-read and good people saying how the world is about to end. And we sometimes think that now. We look at, you know, the horrible things going on in the internet, whatever we think of what's going on with the election in the United States coming up, that there's some concerns there, I think, for all of us. We look at all these things and we think, can it get any worse than this? And that's why it's helpful to have Remembrance Day. Because when we think of Remembrance Day, for most of us, we think of the two world wars of the previous century. And those open up our eyes to the larger picture of what has gone on before. And for us to think that this is the worst it can be, I think is a little simplistic. It has been worse before, but the world hasn't ended. Because that's what the people what the Thessalonians were worried about. They said the world's about to end, and we don't know what to do. And Paul's saying, no, it's not about to end. Because the things that have to happen first haven't happened. So put that behind you and just live the life you have in front of you. We can look around at all kinds of things that make us think that it doesn't get much worse than this. But if we talk to somebody, and we have that opportunity here, who lived through the 40s. It's pretty hard to find somebody who lived through the First World War, but we've got their writings. Is it so much worse now than it was then, when we were sending off tens of thousands of young men to die in a war they didn't choose? I don't think it's that bad now. I don't think it's great. I don't think that we're in some kind of strange perfection. But remembering these things, the inescapable reality of Remembrance Day, for me, when I think of Remembrance Day, I don't think so much of the theory of what's happened. I think of the people I knew who lived through that, who talked to me about it in ways that were really helpful to me. And I understand what it was like in a way that I wouldn't otherwise by talking to them. And through that sense of remembering those things, it helps me to realize that I don't know everything about anything. And if I'm going to be if I'm going to start making pronouncements about whether this is the worst time ever or the best time ever, or whether this is the all the signs leading up to God coming back next Wednesday, I should probably hold on to that pretty lightly. And when I think of remembering these things, told to me primarily by men, but by some women, that I take as true and authentic, it pushes me back even further to say, what does Scripture say? What does the Bible tell me about the future? About what I need to do to get ready for it, about what might happen next. And what I see is the ongoing encouragement and sense of hope that comes from a relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit in my life every day. What I see is not a requirement that we don't think about the future at all, not a sense that we don't consider what may be to come. But what I see over and over again in Scripture is it's more important for us to pay attention to what's going on in front of us right now and with the people that we're around right now than spending a lot of time and energy on what might happen down the road. And so we go to places like 2 Thessalonians. We go to Daniel. We go to various books in the Bible. And we say, well, what's it going to be like if we need that encouragement? We go to Revelation. And there's lots of things in these books that can confuse us or that we're not clear about. But the ultimate end is always completely and totally clear. The end of Revelation can't possibly be more clear than it is. That at the end of all things, God will make all things well. It's as simple as that. There's no way you can get around that. You read the last couple of chapters of Revelation, you go, okay, there's a bunch of things that need to happen between now, whenever now is, and then, whenever then will be. But when that then happens, God will make all things well. The ultimate good end of creation is as inevitable as dawn is tomorrow. And that's the future that I want to remember. Not so much my concerns about tomorrow, if tomorrow is a big and frightening day for me, but looking past that. Because when we remember that end of the future and we work our way back, what it says to us is that all of the things that happen in this world happen under the gaze and under the care of a loving God. We don't always understand them. God frequently doesn't do things the way I want him to do these things. And that's okay. Because everything that we're going through is moving us towards a future of ultimate good. Whether that happens tomorrow or 1,000 years from now, doesn't matter. It's as inevitable as anything. And that's the future that Paul called the people of Thessalonians to remember. That yes, lots of things need to happen that haven't happened yet. But look forward to what will happen eventually. Stand firm and hold to the teachings Paul passed on to them. And then may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. That's the future we remember. Is that a loving God is with us now, even as that same loving God was with us in the past, and will be with us in the future. There's never going to be a time when we won't be with God in that sense of being under his care. And it's remembering the future, this revealed future, this ultimate future that gives us confidence for our immediate future and even gives us confidence for the now. Amen.